talks about the questionable choices she's made, man after man, searching after something that she can't find and comes up unsatisfied. I mean, imagine if Jesus was sitting with her and said things like this. He could have said, well, if you've been following me, you wouldn't have found yourself in this situation. Or, you know what you ought to do, lady? Just pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Or you're a woman, or you're a Samaritan, or an adulteress. I mean, the customs of our time says you're not even worth my time. And just imagine if he had said things like that. Things that, I confess, I've thought about others. But he doesn't. No, Jesus' mercy looked far beyond her situation, beyond her bad choices, beyond her fruitless search for intimacy, beyond her different race, beyond her gender, beyond her religion, and he offers her mercy. I mean, imagine what kind of changes this mercy did to transform her. I mean, we do get a small glimpse of it. When she leaves her jar, she goes back to her city and she begins to preach, come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? I mean, mercy turned the Samaritan woman into a Christian evangelist. Mercy. Or we can look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. As Nick mentioned earlier, I've been studying Bible and theology for decades now. And it wasn't until this past year where it just dawned on me. It dawned on me that many in the crowd that Jesus feeds probably weren't Jews. I mean, for some reason, I'd always reserved this as a miracle that Jesus did for the insiders, for people who were part of the club. But frankly, this miracle makes more sense if there are plenty in the crowd who aren't part of the club, if you will, who aren't members, if you will. And as the story goes, they're hungry. The shops are closed, and Jesus doesn't want to send them away hungry, and so he feeds them. He offers mercy. How? Mercy through the simple hospitality of a filet-o-fish sandwich, if you will. I mean, he acknowledges their basis need on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and he addresses their physical need so that the goodness of God can be manifested. Mercy. Or we see over and over Jesus having to deal with these lepers coming to him. They want to be healed. A leper, an outcast, a person who is demonized because of the disgust and the ignorance of the disease that he finds himself infected with. And Jesus doesn't go like we would in the South, bless your heart. Or, oh, what a shame. I wish someone would do something about this. Or, you know what? I don't take care of pre-existing conditions. Or, where is your Blue Cross Blue Shield before I can do anything? No. Jesus offers mercy. Mercy to someone who has been socially, physically, and spiritually afflicted because of his circumstances. Not because of his choices, but because of genetics. No, mercy is not offered based on what country he's from or the color of skin or his economic status. No, mercy is not even offered because he deserves it or that he worked hard for it. No, this mercy is given through the sheer generosity, even audacity, of Jesus. Or we see Jesus on the cross, arguably in the most vulnerable state in his ministry. Besides him hangs a thief, another one of those who made those poor decisions and is getting what he deserves. He got caught and is getting punished by the letter of the law. And not only that, this thief is serving as an example, as a deterrent for others who would think about doing the same thing. And here Jesus turns to him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. A word for the thief. A word of mercy, perhaps, in one of the worst moments of life. So we see mercy offered to those who made bad moral choices. Mercy offered to those who broke the law. Mercy is offered to those who were born with a characteristic they had no control over, yet suffered for it, like gender, race, birth defects. Mercy offered to those with pre-existing conditions, like the hemorrhaging woman, or lepers, or men born blind. Mercy offered to those who were not Jews. Mercy offered to those who are getting what they deserved. Mercy is offered to the poor and disenfranchised who are cast out of others' neighborhoods. No, and mercy. Mercy freely offered to those who didn't even ask for it. This I present to you would be Jesus-shaped mercy. There's a concept in some pastoral writings that talk about high buffer or low buffer mercy. High buffer, low buffer situations. For example, in church membership, high buffer church membership, some churches have this formal covenant process with extended teaching that you have to go through and clear expectations like doctrinal beliefs or behaviors that you have to establish up front before you become a member. Another way of putting it like this is you believe a certain set of principles, you behave in a certain set of ways, and then after you believe and after you behave, then and only then do you belong. Or in other churches, particularly in our age where we see transient urban populations or mega churches with fluid participant membership, we're far more transient in our movement. Membership expectations can be far more bare bones. And the process could be simple as just saying, hey, I'd like to be a member of this church, or you fill out a form. And so here we see it flipped. This position states belonging first. You welcome someone in, and once somebody is welcomed in, that individual begins to recognize that there are different attitudes, different practices, different behaviors. And so they start to engage in those different behaviors. They start to see people doing things, so they start to do them. And once they see that the behavior and their experience matches up with what's being taught and being professed in that community, then they begin to believe. And this was my experience when I started going to Churches of Christ. They welcomed me in through the Aggies for Christ at Texas A&M. I get on a bus with 40 other college students for a week-long trip to a children's home in Arkansas. And here are all these Church of Christ people singing all these weird songs, and they know every single word to every single song, and bless their heart, they can't afford a guitar. But they welcomed me in. And so I came back. Week after week after week, I kept coming back. And then I started to notice. Everyone carries a Bible. I was raised Catholic. There were Bibles at church. There was no need to carry a Bible. So I started carrying a Bible. Then I started to notice people started going to Bible studies during the middle of the week. So I started going to the middle of the week. And so on and so on and so on. But the belonging allowed me to come in and to try out the behaviors and see, are they practicing what they preach? And once I saw that the behavior matched up with what they were teaching, I believed. I mean, look at Jesus' calling of Peter, James, and John. One might argue that Jesus offers them a pretty low buffer. He offers these young men automatic belonging. He says, come, follow me. I mean, there's no beliefs they have to ascribe to, no loyalty to profess, no classes that they need to attend, no forms to fill out, no rituals to engage in. Just follow. Come, follow me. Low buffer. Why do I go into this high and low buffer stuff? Well, might Jesus's mercy have been low buffer? I mean, think of it. He seems to offer this mercy all willy-nilly to people he meets. Willy-nilly is a technical term from the Greek. I mean, it's like, here's some mercy, there's some mercy, everywhere some mercy, mercy. It's audacious. Perhaps even reckless. And many times, it's mercy that's not even asked for. He just gives it. Here, I know you didn't ask for this, but here you go. Might we be called to be people who offer low buffer mercy? Might that be us being salt and light in our world? Well, let's get back to the judge. So an eternity passes. My heart is beating through my throat, as you might imagine. I mean, the judge, I know, has all sorts of options at his disposal. He could send me to jail for 3 to 5 years. He could make me pay restitution of the damages and the loss that the shop owner incurred. He could sentence me to hundreds of hours of community service or probation, just to name a few. And each one of these options the judge has at his disposal would alter my life in radically different ways. More time passes. About an hour later, he answers. In reality, it's probably just 5 seconds. He sentences me to 3 years of probation. Mercy, I would argue. I mean, was this mercy anything based on anything I had done? Anything about me? Was he lenient on me because of my age? Did the color of my skin factor in? Was being a male an asset or a liability in this situation? Did having the financial means to have an attorney represent me factor into his decision? Was it any kind of contrition I had shown on my part? I have no idea. I'll let you be the judges of that. Here's what I do know. I do know he had every right to sentence me to 3 to 5 years of jail. Law and order. Teach this kid a lesson. Let him be an example to the community. Make him pay the dues for his crime. No. What I do know is that the mercy the judge showed me was undeserved. There was nothing I did to merit the mercy he showed me. And here's what else I do know. I do know how that mercy transformed my life and set my life on a different path. I mean, I've wondered many times, what would my life have been had I not been given that mercy? I know that I wouldn't have gone back to my senior year in high school. I know that I wouldn't have started hanging out with a different group of friends who were a much better influence on me for the rest of my senior year. I know that I would not have hung out with friends who had influenced me to do the better, not worse. I know that mercy allowed me then to finish high school, graduate, and then go on to Texas A&M, where I would get involved with the Aggies for Christ at the A&M Church of Christ after my freshman year. A moment in my life that would change my life forever. I know that I would not have fallen in love with Jesus in a new way that would start a path that would allow me to fulfill the calling I had growing up Catholic towards ministry. I know that that mercy wouldn't have given me the courage to study theology and to enter youth ministry and, well, to end up here today. See, this is the power of mercy done well. when we distribute mercy well, or when you're caught dead to right, when you stand guilty in front of a judge, when you're caught red-handed, when you know in your heart you did something wrong and the guilt catches up with you, this is when mercy does its best work. Mercy done well transforms. Mercy done well leads to reconciliation. Mercy done well leads to change for the better. This is what Jesus-shaped mercy does. Paul describes a very interesting vocation in 2 Corinthians when he states that we are to be ministers of reconciliation. He frames it intentionally when he talks about being accused of being out of our minds. He says the way we've been acting as Christians is different. It's different than the people in our community. And because of that, the people in our community are saying, you guys are nuts. You're out of your mind. You do things so differently. It's weird. We don't get you. I mean, they've been living with such love and service and mercy that those around them not only notice, but they mock them for being out of their minds. I mean, this is when the text says, we no longer regard others from a worldly point of view. Regarding others from a worldly point of view, no longer regarding others from a worldly point of view, is a Bible way of saying we see others through the eyes of Jesus. Yeah. We don't see skin color, gender, political party, economic status, intelligence, sports teams, status, sexual preference, success, immigration status, criminal history, bank account, marital status, religion. No, we see everyone created in the image of God. So that we can reconcile the world to God. To make things right. To live now as things will be in the future in the kingdom of heaven. To make things right. To live now. To live in this new reality of the kingdom of God. Here on earth as it's being revealed to us. And this is when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. So when we offer mercy to the stranger, to the other, to the foreigner, to the different, we are being ministers of reconciliation. And ministry and mercy brings reconciliation. Mercy works to set things right. I'm going to wager that many of you, if not all of us, are here this morning because of mercy we have all received at one time or another. Those times when we were caught dead to right and we were offered mercy. And perhaps we keep coming back week after week after week here because we need more of this mercy. Maybe the way one gets more mercy is to give more mercy. And so as we go on from this place, may we be known as distributors of mercy. Jesus calls that the merciful, those full of mercy in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, these people will receive and be full of mercy. So may we be a little more gentle in our words. May we put ourselves in the shoes of the other in order to allow mercy to bubble up within us all the more. I mean, Jesus did this. He looked through the eyes of a lens of a child and told us, be like this. He looked through the lens of the widows and the orphans and he tells us, take care of these people. He looked through the lens of the Jew beaten, left for dead on the side of the road, and a Samaritan to show us that mercy is not limited to the people of Israel. No, it can be found in the least likely of places, even a Samaritan. Now he put himself on the cross as the thief next to him and offers him hope by saying, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he put himself in the shoes of the poor, the downtrodden, the immigrant, the refugee, the oppressed, the people who had systematic injustices working against them, the other, the criminal. And his response was, may they be blessed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you were an example of mercy, may we too be examples of mercy. As you have said, blessed are those who are merciful. May we be full of mercy. And may we be distributors of this mercy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am, just as I am. I would, but mercy and grace, my and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am, praise God, just as I am. Father, we thank you for, again, your grace, your love, your mercy that welcomes us as we are. We hope, Father, that you'll help us to spread that welcome to others, that as people see us and see our lives, that they will feel drawn to you, to the power and the salvation that we have through your Son. And please be with us and keep us safe as we leave this place. In Christ's name, amen.